Today we are reading from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome, and the convention for letters at that time like this is that at the end of the letter there would be practical advice, and so that's the section we are in, is Paul telling them, you heard the theology, here's how you live it out. And so we are in Romans chapter 12. Don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you can figure out what God's will is, what is good and pleasing and mature. Because of the grace that God gave me, I can say to each one of you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Instead, be reasonable, since God has measured out a portion of faith to each one of you. We have many parts in one body, but the parts don't all have the same function. In the same way, though there are many of us, we are one body in Christ, and individually we belong to each other. Love should be shown without pretending. Hate evil and hold on to what is good. Love each other like the members of your family. Be the best at showing honor to each other. Don't hesitate to be enthusiastic. Be on fire in the Spirit as you serve the Lord. Be happy in your hope. Stand your ground when you are in trouble. And devote yourselves to prayer. Contribute to the needs of God's people and welcome strangers into your home. Bless people who bless you. I'm sorry, I'm having a tough time today. Bless people who harass you. Bless and don't curse them. Be happy with those who are happy and cry with those who are crying. Consider everyone as equal and don't think that you're better than anyone else. Instead, associate with people who have no status. Don't think that you're so smart. Don't pay back anyone for their evil actions with evil actions, but show respect for what everyone else believes is good. This is the word of God for all people. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, we hear your holy word and we are grateful because it is one of the ways that you reach out to us. And yet we sometimes struggle to figure out what does that mean in our lives. And so we ask you to show us today how we can live your word through the power of your Holy Spirit. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay, this is audience participation time, so you are invited to raise your hand, hit the like button, shout amen, or maybe your style is more exchange knowing glances with someone. So, how many of you don't post in certain social media arenas because you are afraid you'll get virtually clobbered for saying anything at all? How many of you have left an organization because someone, even if they didn't realize it, made it really clear you weren't good enough? How many of you have stayed home from something out of fear that no one would talk to you if you went? How many of you have already lost friends over politics in America, or are afraid this will be the year that it finally happens? Sometimes this old world is a mean and cruel place. But we're doing this series, Hospitality of the Heart, because we are set free by Christ not to conform to this world. Sometimes we forget how great that is. For example, if someone insults my appearance, I don't have to call them names, and I don't have to carry around the hurt that they caused. We don't have to conform to the nastiness, and we don't have to hold on to the hurt. That right there, that would transform our minds. But if we dig into God's word to try to find out God's will, we'll be transformed even further We will find a high value on hospitable hearts generally and welcoming strangers specifically. We talked about hospitable hearts as hearts that have room for relationship with someone else way back on August 20th, if you want to pull up that sermon and remember. And then last week, Pastor Hannah explored how we are transformed by encounters with guests. This week, we're going to be heavy on practical theology, how we act because of what we believe. Now, the Bible teaches special care for those who are poor, generally, and specifically for widows, orphans, and foreigners. These are vulnerable people who are either left out altogether or on the edges. And everyone is vulnerable when they come here for the first few times, wondering if this is a place for them, if this is a place where they fit in, if this is a place where we love Jesus as much as we say we do. So we draw from the example we see across the Bible, and especially the instructions to welcome strangers, welcome foreigners. We see this instruction specifically show up in four variations in the books of Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. I'm just going to read you one. In Leviticus 19, it says, "Any immigrant who lives with you must be treated as if they were one of your citizens. You must love them as yourself, because you were immigrants in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." In a few other ways that the Bible talks about welcoming strangers, we had last week's story of Genesis 18, where Abraham unknowingly hosts angels. We had the instruction today in Romans 12 to welcome strangers. And Hebrews 13:2 reminds Christians, don't neglect to open up your homes to guests, because by doing this, some have been hosts to angels without knowing it. We see in the story of Luke 24, after the resurrection of Jesus, that as Jesus is on the road to Emmaus, people literally meet Christ through welcoming a stranger, because they don't know it's Jesus until he breaks bread with them. And so that story invites us to ask whether we might encounter Christ, recognize him, by entering into that holiness of breaking bread with strangers, which perhaps could mean sharing a brownie in the cafe. Usually there's enough, you can each have your own brownie, but you know what I mean. Many of the encounters with Jesus seem to be people who are strangers encountering him, people who have heard about Jesus but don't know him until they seek him out. And so welcoming strangers relates not just to one verse, but many verses in the Bible. Hospitality of the heart is a thread that runs through the entire tapestry of Scripture. We're going to be talking today specifically about what we do in the church, because if we can't do it in the church, we aren't going to be able to do it anywhere else. And if we don't do it in the church, nobody will believe what we say about Jesus if we don't act like Jesus. Jesus encountered people outside of religious buildings more often than inside. So take all of these things with you and apply them in the school cafeteria or the PTA meeting or the continuing ed seminar or the program at the senior center. And yes, even online. So here's another way we don't conform to the world when we follow Jesus. As we grow in our spiritual journey, so does our willingness to be a little uncomfortable ourselves so that someone else knows they belong to the body of Christ. This means that I will take a deep breath, handle the agony of overriding my Midwestern NICE program, and ask somebody their name if I don't know it. I know that seems a little bit dramatic, but we're going to talk about name anxiety in a minute here. Some people say, well, I'm a hugger. I like to hug everybody. But as Christians, we're going to read somebody's body language and ask them, would you feel most comfortable with a hug, a handshake, or a friendly wave? One more foundation brick. This section of Romans highlights another thread throughout the Bible's tapestry, the mutuality that characterizes communities of God's people. Hospitality is not a transaction, but a circle. We each give, and if we each give by design, each will also receive. At some times in life, we will give more, and at other times, we will receive more. So there's our foundation. I promised we were going to apply this, so here we go. Circle of 10, rule of 3, build a bridge, and sing like Elsa. Circle of 10 means try to greet everyone in a 10-foot diameter of where you're sitting before or after worship. Yes, it will start taking a little longer to clear out. That's okay. And if you are watching online with others in the room, do the same thing. Be the ones who greet each other. Give them a hug. Get their coffee. Tell them you're glad to share this experience with them. We greet people appropriately to our relationship with them. If it's somebody we know well and we often hug each other, then a hug is probably just fine. If it's someone we don't know, let's start by introducing ourselves, huh? Yeah. And for anybody, a smile and I'm glad you're here today, or it's good to see you, are usually welcome. Perhaps we might find some families where someone is cleaning up the crayons and the crackers and the toys that their child has scattered during worship. And so we might interact with the child right there on the spot so that their grown-up can get the stuff collected. Greeting doesn't have to be an in-depth conversation. It might lead to one. It doesn't necessarily have to be. Greeting is acknowledging the people in your circle of 10 as people who matter to us and to God. When you're worshiping online, you can use the comments to greet each other throughout the service. And I know some of us are in person sometimes and online other times, so this applies to a lot of us. Some of you already do this. You say hi to anybody watching remotely. You reply to their comments. If the preacher asks a question, you can answer it in the comments or reply to someone else's comment on that. And maybe even right now, for those of you who are online with us right now, as we're talking about greeting everyone in a 10-foot diameter, maybe you're remembering that someone did that for you, and that's how you became part of our church. And so, say so. Even if you're watching later or asynchronously, Facebook will let folks know that you commented on that. Those of us who have given our lives to Jesus and are not new need to make a special effort to greet anyone we don't know first in our circle of 10. That's a part of what it means when it says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, to put the needs of others first. That's part of how we also live into the humility that's in there, knowing that others bring needs just as we bring needs, and because we know God loves us, we want to make sure that others know that too. Coming to a new church for the first time can be very stressful. All kinds of questions, all kinds of concerns about will I do the right thing, will I fit in? So we don't want anyone to walk out the doors without being acknowledged. And we especially want those to whom we are strangers to know the love of Christ when we worship together. Our vision says that we share God's word, show God's love, and serve God's world. We don't get to share God's word if we don't show God's love in our welcome of strangers. So the circle of 10 means, whether you're on a screen or whether you're in the room, try to greet everyone in a 10-foot diameter of where you're sitting before or after worship. So rule of three means that in the first 3 minutes after worship ends, seek out someone you don't know as well and talk to them first. If we all do this, our friends will be here too, because our friends will also be talking to somebody they don't know as well, and then we meet up afterwards. Our friends already know we love and care about each other, but new folks don't, and whether anyone cares about them is a big question they're asking. We can reach out to our friends this afternoon if we don't catch them here, but not to a stranger we don't talk to. If we're going to put others first and love like a healthy family, we who are comfortable here will reach out first. So spending the first 3 minutes after worship talking to someone we don't know as well can feel riskier than the circle of 10. Some of us would rather pick up glitter by hand from a kid's craft downstairs than initiate a conversation with a stranger. Some of us have missed out on potential friendships for months, if not years, because we don't know someone's name and we feel too awkward to ask. I'm going to tell you a secret. We all have name anxiety here. I know this because we talk about it. At least you talk about it with me. I am in my 7th month here as the senior pastor, and I am trying so hard, but I'm still working on it. And you all have been very gracious with me. And then we start talking, and that's how I know we all have the name anxiety. And the thing is, if people know our names, it's a sign that they care about us and that we matter. If they don't know our names, there's several reasonable reasons why that might be, but our hearts tend to jump to, they don't care and I don't matter. Here at this church, we have over 1,000 members, and we have more folks who actually aren't on that membership list because they haven't made that commitment, but they're very much a part of our church family. Sometimes we don't even realize, because we're just an open church. Anybody can come and participate. But when you have that many people, nobody knows everybody, and we can't expect that. When we don't know someone's name, we feel bad because we don't want to hurt them, and it's awkward and maybe even embarrassing. So hear the good news. Christ can overcome our name anxiety. Amen. Now, sometimes it's a matter of just knowing what to say, and so I'm going to give you some ideas to get started. Some phrases that may help overcome that anxiety so that it doesn't prevent us from extending the welcome of Christ. Now, if somebody comes to you and says, "Hi, I'm so-and-so," what's your automatic response? "Nice to meet you. I'm such-and-such." Right? For most of us, that's what happens. So that's the easiest and most basic way to get started. Some of us might try something like, "Hi, I'm so-and-so. I'm trying to learn a new name each week when I'm here. Would you share yours?" "Hi, I'm so-and-so. I think we've attended worship together before. I would love to learn your name." "Hi, I'm so-and-so. I really struggle with names, but I'm trying. I'd like to learn yours." I was talking with somebody just after the first service who said, "I used to be a lot better at this." I said, "Hey, confess that. I used to be better at names, but as I've gotten older, I'm struggling more. Could you remind me?" Just put it out there. Just put it out there. And then most of us are like, "Oh, thank God, it's not just me." So from there, you might try some small talk. You might comment on, "We sang one of my favorite hymns today," or, "You know, that thing in the sermon, I'm going to take that away with me." And maybe even get brave enough to ask, "Is there something I could pray for you this week?" Some people like to start with a small talk and then introduce themselves. Go that way first if you like. Here are some key points to think about whatever you're saying. we go first. God reached out to us first. God has been reaching out to us since God first created humanity. And so we reach out to others from that secure foundation. And also, it's a little creepy if a stranger starts asking us questions without introducing themselves first, right? So be friendly, not creepy. I know. But being vulnerable first, going first, by taking that risk to reach out, put yourself out there, it's putting out the welcome mat for folks. Another point, put the emphasis on your desire to learn about them for the sake of welcome. I haven't seen you here before. It's probably a great way to offend members and maybe have strangers keep their distance. So maybe try not to use that one. But whether it's someone's first time here or their 500th time here, care about the person you're talking to. And third, be genuine in your desire to connect. We've all had conversations where we realize somebody didn't care about us. They were just hoping we'd give them money, that we'd sign their petition, what it was about, whatever they wanted. So be genuine in your desire to connect with somebody and in apologizing if you say something awkward. So here's how God keeps me humble. The day that I wrote this, I handed my business card to someone at the Strongsville Women's League event, and they said, I'm a member. I feel terrible every time something like that happens, and it keeps happening because I'm still new here. But the floor did not conveniently open up to swallow me, so I apologized and then realized I did in fact know this person, and then we talked about all of this awkwardness and challenge of learning folks here. So online, rule of three, please remember to be as wise as serpents and as gentle as doves, as Jesus says. Don't give out your personal information or send money to anyone you don't know in real life that you wouldn't do in real life. That's the wise as serpents part. The gentle as doves part means look for ways to deepen connections with other folks who are worshiping online. Post a question like, what was everyone's favorite part of the service? Or what do you think will stick with you this week? Put an invitation out there. Hey, I'm happy to answer questions if anyone watching is new and wants to know more about our church. So I'm going to go first today here. If you have other ideas about how to deepen that experience when you're worshiping remotely, put it in the comments. So circle of 10, rule of 3, and now build a bridge. Build a bridge. We all want to belong. Do I belong here? Is a big question most of us ask when we go somewhere new. So in the name of Jesus, who lived a life of welcoming strangers, build a bridge of belonging when you meet a new person. Find something that you have in common. Introduce them to someone else. Bonus points if you can tell them what they have in common. Bring somebody new to meet the pastor, or again, if you're online, suggest that. Hey, our pastor would be happy to talk to you about that. Invite folks to join you in the cafe after worship or to take a tour of the building. Build a bridge of some kind that invites them to cross closer to our church and to Christ. So sing like Elsa. Yes, I'm talking about that Frozen queen. If an experience of welcoming somebody or coming here or joining us online somehow just doesn't go right or well or how you wish it did, think about if it's something that you can let it go, let it go. People have bad days. People have crises. People get overwhelmed. people accidentally offend, including me. Somehow, maybe everyone in your circle of 10 turned it into a rule of three, and there's you without a conversation partner. It probably wasn't intentional, it probably just happened. And so everybody here's human. Everybody here needs God's grace. Everybody here has received God's grace. And because we've received, we can share God's grace. Of course, we all need to experience Christ's love through other people. But if somebody doesn't recognize us as having been a member for a while or something, we can let that go. We don't have to hold on to the hurt when sometimes we do get hurt occasionally. God loves us, and there's nothing we can do about that. And that's how we let it go and go forward. So again, audience participation. How many want everyone who comes here to feel like their presence matters? How many want strangers to know this is a safe place where we will welcome them, whoever they are? How many want to help people grow closer to God and to each other? How many want to know and show love? All right, circle of 10, rule of 3, build a bridge, sing like Elsa, and love like Jesus. Let's pray. God, we are grateful beyond words that you reach out and love us first. When we don't know it's your love that we need, when we're too young to know it's your love, when we've been hurt, and so we're hurting, but we aren't even looking for your love, you reach out to us, and you love us. And you put people in our lives to help draw us to you, and you give us grace upon grace upon grace. Remind us of all of that each and every day. Help us to plant our feet and our hearts there, and from that place, help us to give that love to others. In the mighty name of Jesus, who came to show us in the flesh that it was so. Amen.